The message that the Lord has given me is God is not going to bless you. It's the truth. God is not going to bless you. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. I didn't say unless, if, and, or but. God is not going to bless you. It's the truth. And you need to understand it. It's the truth. There's no use just mincing words and trying to be nice about it. You cannot expect God to bless you. And I want you to understand that clearly before you leave today. God is not going to bless you. And anybody that tells you that he is, well, they're just wrong. That's all there is to it. And there is one simple reason why God is not going to bless you, and that is he already has blessed you. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now tell me, if he has blessed us with every blessing, how many blessings are there left to bless us with? One translation says, has blessed us with every blessing that heaven has to offer. Do you realize that you are today blessed with every blessing that heaven has to offer? Every blessing that God is capable of providing is provided. The scripture says in Romans, the 8th chapter, if God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? With him, not separate from him, not 10,000 years later, but with him. With him. Freely give us all things. When God gave us Jesus Christ, he gave us everything he had. Psalm 84:11 says, "The Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly." The Lord God is a sun and shield. No good thing will he withhold. I want you to know today that God is not holding back any good thing from you. That had a major impact on my life, that verse. I saw that God, and I need to see it more clearly. You can always see it more. But I saw that God wasn't the one that was holding back on me. It wasn't God. He said, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But you may think, oh, wait a minute. That's the catch there. You know me, I'm just old, little old me, and I made a mistake yesterday. I made one on the way to the meeting this morning, and I don't qualify. Wait a minute. You qualify if you walk in Jesus' righteousness. Hallelujah. And you can walk in that. You can fall sometimes as a human. You're going to fall, but you can step right back up. Confess your sin and be completely cleansed of it, and you can walk in that righteousness. You can walk and live in the righteousness of Jesus. So you don't have to have any good thing withheld from you. God is not holding back any good thing from you. I know I used to hear preaching. I try not to listen to stuff like that anymore if I can help it, because Jesus said to take heed what you hear. But I used to hear things like, God knew best, and he wouldn't do this, and the reason he wouldn't give you new cars, he knew that you'd probably take it and go visit your relatives instead of going to church, or, you know, he wouldn't give you a boat because then you'd go out to the lake every Sunday instead of going to church meeting, and things like that, and God just knew best, and God was holding back, and when you got mature, and when you got as spiritual as Billy Graham, well, then God might let you have a few more goodies, you know. But I saw reading that scripture one day, of course, it's coupled with other things from the Word of God, but God is not the one that's holding it back. It's the devil. God is not the one that's holding back your finances. He's not waiting for you to arrive at some state of super spirituality for you to be prosperous. I have news for you. Jesus already arrived at that state. He already qualified, and he is your representative. You receive by faith what he deserved and deserves. 1 Corinthians 3:21 says, all things are yours. All things are yours. Matthew 9:29 says something interesting. Jesus is speaking and said, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to your faith, according to your faith, let it be to you. He said something in Mark, the 9th chapter, that really is interesting. In verse 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible. All things are possible. Well, that can't be true if God is holding back. But God is not holding back. God is not reserving his blessings. He has poured out his blessings on us in Christ Jesus. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And don't take that verse to mean that's just spiritual blessings. That doesn't mean invisible blessings that just make your spine tingle and you to feel good kind of on the inside. No, that isn't what it means at all. It means that they're from the spirit realm. That is their source. That's the source of the earth. That's the source of this piano. Everything you see in here, it originated from the spirit realm. Because God, who is a spirit and dwells in that spirit realm, spoke words of faith, faith-filled words, and these things that are material in the earth realm, physical, we say, they came into existence. They were originated, they were parented by the spirit realm. And so a spiritual blessing will parent a physical substance or a physical thing. In other words, a spiritual blessing will produce physical results. Spiritual blessing isn't something that's just going to remain always invisible and just on the inside you feel good. A spiritual blessing will produce visible results. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13, we read, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world. What was the promise to Abraham? The promise that he would be the heir of the world. That's a big promise. The promise that he would be the heir of the world. You talk about a great inheritance. Here it is, the whole thing rolled up into one, the heir of the world. I assume that if you get the world, you get whatever's in it. Well, that was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Through what? Through righteousness. Through those that are right with God. People that are right with God get the world. But there's only one way to be right with God, as you find out here in these chapters in Romans and in the New Testament elsewhere. That's by faith in Jesus Christ. The righteousness which is of faith unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. So now we can all be freely justified by his grace. Hallelujah. Well, it says the promise was not just to Abraham or to the Jews, is what it's talking about, through the law, but it's through the right standing of faith. And verse 16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is a father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Look in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. Do you know any Gentiles in Christ Jesus? Actually, in Christ Jesus, there's no difference. Anybody in Christ Jesus. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. How? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That we might receive how? By our works? By how tall we are? By what our last name is? By what denomination we belong to? Oh, I know. It's by having perfect doctrine. That's how we're going to receive everything from God. That's it. We have perfect doctrine. Oh, I know how. It's by always walking perfectly in love. Never making any mistakes. How does it say? It says through faith, doesn't it? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, we just read over there in Romans chapter 4. You can look back if you need to. We just read there in Romans chapter 4 that the promise, it tells us what the promise is. Verse 13, the promise that he would be the heir of the world. It said this promise wasn't just to Abraham and the Jews, his descendants under the law, but it was to all of us. What does it say? Therefore it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He is the father of faith, an example of faith, and it says that the promise, that we might receive the promise through faith. We might receive that we, Gentiles in Christ Jesus, might receive the promise through faith. Well, is that big enough? Is the whole world, is that big enough? Is that enough of a blessing? If that isn't big enough, well then God has already said that he's already blessed us with every blessing that heaven has to offer, every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in Ephesians 1:3. Is that enough for you? Is that enough owning the whole world? Did you know that you are a joint heir to this world? You own it. I said before, Jesus and I own it all. We do. We do. Praise God, because Jesus owns it all, and I'm a joint heir with him. Joint heir means an equal heir. Everything that he has belongs to me too. It's just like a husband and a wife. The wife has a great job, and she makes a lot of money, and that is just as much the husband's as it is the wife's. They have a joint checking account, and that wife can go out and work and make the money and do everything, and that husband can spend it just as freely as he wants. It's the law. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because it's a joint, equal sharing. A drawing. If the husband needs all the money that there is in the checking account to buy groceries, that's fine. He can draw it all out. He doesn't have to say, well, I just can get my half with groceries. No way. We're not going to let those women do that to us. Praise God. We have some rights. Hallelujah. And in Christ Jesus, we have some rights. We're joint heirs. Joint heirs. Joint heirs. Now you may think this is just some strange thing or some play on words, but it's the attitude you've got to have. God is not going to bless you. God has already blessed you. The reason that blessing is not on you is not because of God. There's got to be another reason. And Jesus really made it clear to us. He said it's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he didn't say his middle name is Father God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God came to bless. Jesus finished his work, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and it says he's waiting until his enemies be made his footstool. Jesus is expecting. He's expecting you to overcome. He's expecting you to take what he did, his sacrifice, and apply it in your life and walk in victory and to tread on all that the devil would try to do. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus is expecting. He's expecting that. Jesus is expecting you to win. He's already made the provision. He's already fixed the thing by paralyzing your opponent, the enemy, the evil one, and he's given you instruction on how you may operate in victory, and that's in his word. Now, it's important for you to understand God is not going to bless you. Don't waste your time praying, God, bless me. Because God has already blessed you. You are blessed. You are prosperous. You are strong. You are delivered. But you have to claim what is yours. How do you receive what is yours? We receive what the Spirit promised through faith. Why did God make it that way? Well, Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. God set it up this way so that even you could receive. He didn't set it up this way so only Kenneth Copeland or somebody with strong faith that just happened to be born in the right place at the right time and have the right parents and know the right people and have the right first name, Kenneth. He didn't set it up so that just they could receive. He set it up so you could receive. He set it up this way so you wouldn't have to be perfect all your life to receive God's blessing. You could be just an old sinner and get saved by grace. Hallelujah. And receive all that God had. You could even be a murderer like the Apostle Paul. Get saved by God's grace and just receive everything that God had. Just like you was God's own child from all eternity. And God had no remembrance of the past. Hallelujah. You say, oh, to be a sinner again. Oh, I wish I was a sinner so I could get saved. And I could start over. You've never been tempted to think that, huh? Well, you don't have to think that. Even if you have missed it as a Christian, thank God. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he that is God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And we're cleansed of it. He remembers it no more. The blood wipes it out. It's remitted, it's wiped out, it's as if it never existed, and we can walk on with God as though sin never existed. We can have the righteousness conscience instead of the sin conscience that they had when they were just offering the blood of bulls and goats, because that wouldn't take away the remembrance of the sins. They had to do that every year, but now we have a perfect sacrifice. Eternal redemption has been purchased for us by the precious blood of Jesus. And we do not have to have the sin consciousness. We can have the right consciousness, right standing consciousness, being conscious of the fact that we're right with God by his grace. By the blood of Jesus, the payment was made and sin has been remitted, and I am now right with God. I have God's righteousness. That means I'm just as right as God is right. You say, how can you say that? I couldn't say that. But God said that. He said that Jesus had been made unto me righteousness. So Jesus is my righteousness. So for me to say anything about my righteousness other than to say it's great is to put down Jesus. Hallelujah. Just like if I had a gardener, and the gardener's name was Sally, And somebody says, well, tell me about your gardener. And I said, oh, my gardener's just terrible, horrible, no good. How would that reflect on Sally? What would Sally think? How would Sally feel? Well, when somebody says, oh, you shouldn't talk about your righteousness that way, you're not righteous. Well, if I'm going to please them instead of pleasing God, I'm going to say, oh, Jesus, he's just no good. He's just an old filthy rag. He's just no good, horrible, terrible, oh, unworthy. Well, that isn't very good, is it? No, if I'm going to talk about my righteousness, I'm talking about Jesus. So I'm going to have to say, praise God, my righteousness is perfect. I am right with God. And I got that way because of Jesus. He is my righteousness. He'll always be my righteousness. What I do or what I don't do will never be my righteousness, because I'm never going to trade in my righteousness of what I'm doing for his righteousness. I have received as a gift his righteousness, and I'm not changing ever. I'm going to hang on to his. Even when mine gets up there pretty good, pretty well up to snuff. I haven't been too bad lately, you know. Hadn't cussed out the dog for a couple days. Hadn't kicked the wife around for a week or two. Well, I'm going to trade in. Yeah, God, you know me. Here I am. I'm your good little child. I've been reading the Bible. Did you see me? Huh? No, I'm not going to trade. I'm going to hang on to his righteousness. I'm going to keep receiving on that basis. Hallelujah. It's by the righteousness of faith. I'm right by faith. That's how I know I'm right with God. It's by faith. I didn't get a certificate sent down from heaven on the wings of a dove saying, to Dean Wall, this is a telegram from God. You are now right. No, but I got it in the Bible, and I believe the Bible. I believe what God said in his word, and he said that this righteousness was unto all and upon all them that believe. And we're not so much studying about righteousness, but how can you really study about faith without studying righteousness? Really. But I forgot what I was going to say. Well, take a little break. Praise God. When you get to be the preacher, then you can have water too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Righteousness. Thank God for the righteousness of God. It comes by believing in Jesus Christ. It's not by works which we have done, but it's according to his mercy, according to his grace. He saved us. He's made us what we are. I am what I am, the apostle said, by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. Get off of yourself and get over on Jesus. Get out of your own self-works and trusting in yourself and trust in the risen Lamb of God. Don't trust in your own righteousness, but trust in his righteousness. You are a joint heir to this whole world on that righteousness, and you can receive it by faith. Say, oh, why preach all those high and lofty things? Why preach all that that's so far out? It's because God has a desire for us to see things the way he sees them. Not to be limited in our thinking, but to look at it through God's way of looking at it. If you were given a title deed right here, right now, to a large ranch in Australia. It's a large wheat ranch. Tens of thousands of acres. It's good land. Has good rainfall. It'll grow abundant crop. It's yours. It belongs to you. Free and clear. How much money is it going to make you? It's given to you. I give it to you right now. It's yours. It's free and clear. How much is it going to produce for you? How much good is it going to do? kind of depends, doesn't it? If you just sit here, guess how much it's going to do for you. You say, oh, but I don't know anything about raising wheat. Well, if you could make $100 million a year crop off of it, do you think you could maybe find out something about raising wheat? Oh, I just don't understand how that works. I hadn't been to Bible school, you know. Oh, God didn't call me to be a pastor. That Bible is just too deep for me. Yeah, I just don't understand it. Let's say you move to Australia, you take up residence there, and you got you a horse or jeep or whatever it is, and you're riding around. You tell everybody, this is my land, I'm rich. Praise God, I inherited all this. It all belongs to me as far as you can see, north, south, east, and west. This is mine. I am rich. How much good is it going to do you? Not any, unless you follow the directions that you learned about making the thing produce. Let's say you got a book on wheat. You got to follow the instructions in the book. It's exactly the same in the kingdom of God. You have been given an inheritance. That's another message, but it's a truth anyway. The Bible tells us that Christ has received his inheritance. He's by inheritance received a better name and other things at other places in Scripture. You can get a Strong's Concordance and look up inheritance yourself and see that he's received an inheritance. We're joint heirs with him. That means if he's received, we've received. You don't say, well, I saw Tom and Sally. Let me start over. You don't say, I'm going over to McDonald's with Joe. If he's going to be there tomorrow and you're going to be there next week, and do you? It's the same time. With means with. Doesn't mean not with. It means with. Well, you're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You received when he received. But it's up to you to appropriate that by faith and to put it into operation. And unless you plant seeds, and I'm not just talking about money, the main seed you plant are words. Words of faith. We receive this by faith. This promise of the Spirit, it's through faith what the Spirit's promised. It's by faith. Faith is released by words. Faith is also released by actions, accompanied by words. When we give of our money, that's faith. I tell you, it takes faith to bury something in the ground that you could go grind up and make you some bread out of. That takes faith, but you say, oh yes, but we know that you put that wheat seed in the ground and it'll bring forth a lot more. That's the way to get an increase. That's the way to multiply. We know that. It's so simple. Why? It doesn't take faith. Yes, it does. It takes faith, but the faith is so strong because you got knowledge. You got that experiential knowledge, not just yourself, but multitudes of other human beings have done that, and what have the results been? They've always been good. It's brought forth according to its kind, an increase. Well, it's exactly the same way over in the spiritual realm. And we're planting seeds, whether they're words or money. It's exactly the same. Can we honestly sit here and tell ourselves that human beings, abundant number of them, have not given their money to God and been blessed many, 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 many more times in their life? Can we stay in here and say that that's not true? No. We have experience. We have knowledge of that. It's readily available. There are people right in this room. There are people all over the world. There, people, our forefathers, generations upon generations, they've proven that. There's abundant evidence for people that have tried it, that have given, that it has brought forth an increase, that it has worked. Why can't we have faith in that? And the same way with words. This is a little bit more difficult, maybe, to see than a seed. But words, they bring forth according to their kind too. Why can't we have faith in a word? You speak a word and you don't see it. It's gone, isn't it? Seems to be gone. It's not really gone. It seems to be. Just like you plant that seed in the ground and it seems to be gone, isn't it? It's buried. It's gone, kaput, according to your senses. You can't see through the ground, but you know it was put in there. That's the same way with your words. Just because you don't see them, feel them, or hear them reverberating off the walls, it doesn't mean that they're dead. It doesn't mean that they quit working. It doesn't mean that they won't continue to produce. Words are seeds that we plant. And this is the way God has given us the kingdom. God has made us joint heirs with Jesus. We've received inheritance. His world is ours. And the way that we are going to take possession of it is through faith. That's acting on what God said in His Word. And our faith is mainly going to operate through our words. To give you an example, I began in January of last year. Well, first, let me say this. I thank you again for the nice yard that we're enjoying at our house and that you gave us on my birthday this previous year. But I was thinking about that. I began in January making this confession diligently daily. Up until this time, my wife and I often had discussions concerning our yard, and we had lived there for about 5 years, and everybody else's yard was finished, but not ours. It seemed that way anyway, and just mud. And well, my wife and I had many discussions about this, and last January, we quit discussing it so much, and I started making this confession. This is a part of the confession I made. Thank you, Lord, for this fine home you gave us and some other things. Thank you for our finished fence, beautiful yard, grass, a sprinkler system, a trampoline, nice plants, and thank you for the money to pay for it all. Thank you for enabling us to get it finished soon. Now, I was diligent in saying that diligently, daily, until sometime in June. I don't remember when. But frankly, I got undiligent. But you've never been guilty of that, have you? Well, I'm not taking anything away from any of you good folks. But it just struck me. You've never given me anything for my birthday before. That's fine. I don't even care about birthdays. We'd lived there for like 5 years. Nothing had happened before. Now, is it coincidence or was it as a result of God working on people's hearts to bring it into line with what we finally, instead of just having discussions between my wife and I, you know, oh, why don't you use your faith? Well, why don't you use your faith? Well, why don't we get the yard done? Why are you doing this? Why don't we do that? We had a lot of discussions. But those discussions never really produced any fruit. And I am not bragging because it was July 28th before it got in and I quit. I quit saying it before then. Well, I mean, I would say it some, but I just mean I wasn't quite as diligent. So I don't have anything to brag about, but it just struck me. Well, why was it when I got serious, when I wrote it down, when I started doing it over and over and over, making a practice of it, making it a habit, forcing myself to be diligent in releasing my faith. Why was it that then it happened and had never happened before over all those years? Was there any connection there? That's what I begin to think about, see? I begin to think about this example. I told you recently about the same way in our housing, how that it was in a July of 1 year. I guess it would have been, I don't know what year it was, the year before we moved into our present house, that my wife and I did agree in prayer. We got specific. We wrote it down. We asked the Lord for just the right house for us. And we'd never had owned a house before or since, I'd say it. And my wife got serious, confessing, thank you, Lord, for that nice, big, beautiful house filled with nice, beautiful furniture and all that, whatever it was. She's saying something like that. Well, she was serious about it. And we moved into a house then in the following April. I believe it was April. And it was just exceedingly more than we really ever expected. Now, why was it that things hadn't worked out before? Why was it that we'd been married all those years and we'd never owned a house? But then when we prayed, believed we received, and then we started releasing faith through words diligently, regularly, why was it that it happened then? Now, it didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen in a month either. From July till the next April, that's the most of a year, isn't it? But where would we have been if we hadn't have done it in that year? I mean, what is a year? Frankly, that is my trouble. After 6 months, I got a little discouraged because it didn't look like it was working so much. Well, other factors came into play. But I just didn't make it as big a priority as I did before. But sometimes things don't work in 6 months. Some crops take longer to grow. But look, if you own the land, you are potentially wealthy. You can produce a crop. You can produce as big a crop as you want. You're only limited by what you plant. Only limited by what kinds of words you plant. You want more? We'll plant more words. Praise God. Get those words out there. You want your life to be changed? We'll change your words. Get words of life out of the Bible that say what God says about you and start planting them. Start planting them in abundance. Start saying that God is my Father. Start saying that I am strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Start saying that God loves me. I'm God's own dear child. Whatever it is you need to say, start saying my needs are met in Christ Jesus. Start saying whatever it is. You say, well, how do I know it'll work? The Bible says it so. That's how you know it'll work. God's not going to bless you for ignorance. God doesn't need to send us some relief from heaven. God already has given us in Christ Jesus what we need. But we can't sit around drinking our mint juleps on the veranda and looking at all we own and saying, oh, isn't this great? I'm in the kingdom. I've got a big spread here. Isn't this great? And just sit around. We have the responsibility that goes with the ownership of causing it to work for us, causing it to produce what it should. And we've got to do that mainly with our words, with our actions also, with our giving of our money, that seeds that we plant. We need to recognize it as such, but the main way that we release our faith is through the words of our mouth. If we don't plant them, we can't expect an increase. Just because we are not planting weed seeds doesn't mean we're going to have an abundant harvest of wheat. I should have used different words because they sound a lot alike. I'll change my wording. Just because we are not planting weed seeds doesn't mean we're going to have an abundant harvest of corn. Now, that's where a lot of us have been. That's where I've been. That's where I am, I guess. That's where probably a lot of us are to a certain extent. Oh, we know better than to go around confessing, well, I'm just so weak, I'm so poor, I don't have anything, God won't do anything for me. Because we read Charles Capp's book, bless God, we know better. We've listened to Kenneth Hagin teach on what you say is what you get. Mark 11:23-24. And so we're not going around all the time saying 10,000 times a day, I'm just so poor, I'm just so broke, I'm just so weak, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Now, we have some relapses once in a while that we've done, but mostly we don't plant that many bad seeds. But just because you don't plant weed seeds doesn't mean you're going to have an abundant harvest of good seed either. Unless you plant the good seed. Well, God knows what I need. You may need a brain. Maybe, did he give you enough of one? Yes, God knows what you need. He knew in advance what you needed, and so he provided it. Are you listening to me? God is not going to bless you. Get it through your thick skull. God is not going to bless you. He's not going to bless you. He's not going to bless you. You already got the title deed. You're already in residence. It's yours. You've got to begin to make the thing produce according to the laws of God. You wouldn't say if someone gave you a hundreds of thousands of acres wheat ranch, you wouldn't say, well, wait a minute, I don't want you to give me that unless you'll promise to give me 300,000 bushels of wheat every year and ship it over. Now, you've got to do that. You ship that 300,000 bushels of wheat over every year. You've got to do that. No, you'd realize this is what it takes to produce it. I can grow my own here. This is it. I'm wealthy. I've got it. I belong here. This is mine. I can make it grow. It'll work. That's the way all of life is. That's the way God has made his creation to bring forth after its kind, to produce, to be productive. God is a God of productivity. And the reason, dear friend, and I'm the dearest of these dear friends I'm talking to right now, the reason that we haven't possessed more of the land is not God's fault. It's terrible. It's terrible to not be able to blame God. It's terrible to have to admit the fault lies closer to home. But it's just like the doctor cutting off the leg because of its gangrene. It's terrible, but there's hope. And that's the way it is with this. If you go another way, there's no hope. Your whole being is just going to be eaten up with it. But this way, it may hurt like plucking out your eye, cutting off your pride to admit it's my fault, not God's. But at least there's hope. There is hope because you know then that the future can be different. Things can be changed. It doesn't have to go on this way forever because I have something to say about it. It's not just whether God chooses to spotlight me and say, you be blessed, you be rich, you be healed, you succeed. It's not whether God just picks me out or not because he's already picked me out and blessed me. And now it's whether I'm going to just sit down here on my haunches and just stay there looking for some blessing from heaven. I'm in God's spotlight already, and I'm just going to sit there like a little bird with my mouth open waiting for something. Or I'm going to open the pages of the Bible and believe it and rise up in what he said and receive. How? By my works? Because of how tall I am? Because of how smart I am? No, I'm going to receive by the righteousness of faith. I'm going to receive because I'm in right standing with God, and I got that way because of what Jesus Christ did. I have faith in what Jesus did. I have faith in what he did was enough. You say, but, oh, I just feel so unworthy. Well, hallelujah, what he did was more than enough to match your old unworthiness. Oh, but it's just so hard for me. Oh, it's all right. What he did was more than enough. It's more than enough. Well, my IQ just isn't as high as the next guy. You know, I didn't have as much education as you did. Hey, what he did was more than enough. Let's go back here now and just read it here. Romans 4:16, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed that have at least 4 years of college education. Huh? So that the promise might be sure to all the seed that are born in the United States of America. So that the promise might be sure to all the seed that this or that or the other. The promise might be sure to all those that are healthy and strong and brilliant, godly, raised in a godly home. All. A-double-L, everybody. Everyone living, breathing on this planet, these promises are theirs. It's sure to all of them. What's the difference? The difference is some know it, realize it, and receive it. Others don't. Many of us know it and don't really act on it. That's the real sad thing. Is that we would know it and not act on it. And I'm not here to beat you over the head, because I know the enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. And how is he going to be able to stop the kingdom of God going forward if he doesn't stop the word? Because it's incorruptible seed. It's not like a wheat seed. You might get 90% germination. You get 100% germination on the word of God. That means that every seed that you plant of the word of God will produce abundant harvest. Everyone. You never speak the word of God but what it's not going to bring forth fruit. You say, but I don't see it. That's the problem. You're looking at what you see. You spoke that word. It's like the seed planted in the ground. And because you can't see it, you think it's gone. It's evaporated. Well, it's not evaporated. It's there bringing forth in the spiritual realm. And that's going to manifest in the physical realm. Let people make fun if they please. The Bible says, let him that is ignorant be ignorant. Still. I'm not out to argue with anyone, but most of all, I'm not out to argue with Jesus. I do not enjoy people making fun of me any more than you do. I do not enjoy being called a heretic. I do not enjoy being branded as a cult. I do not enjoy people saying, oh, that's of the devil. That's doctrines of the devil. I do not enjoy people saying, oh, you're just trying to tickle people's ears. All this good stuff, all this health, prosperity, God is good and all that. I do not enjoy that one bit. But that's not my main concern. Because, you see, they're not my judge. They think they're my judge, but they just got a little mixed up, that's all. Jesus said, the word that I have spoken, that's what's going to judge you. So I go by that instead of what they say. Oh, I don't mean that I'm so hardened that my feelings would never be affected by what others do. But I've determined in my will that I'm going to live my life according to the word, not according to what somebody else's judgment is. It doesn't matter what little nice things the devil comes up with to talk you out of faith. Oh, you're part of that name it and claim it group, huh? Confess it and possess it. Oh, did you hear about this? Oh, I had a neighbor. Let me tell you this, brother. I had this neighbor. And they tell you. They tell you about Aunt Martha, and how this missionary they knew died and didn't work, and God's word didn't work. You know what you ought to do? Somebody starts trying to tell you God's word didn't work, won't work, that God's a liar. You ought to just as nice as you can absent yourself from their presence. The devil does a good enough job without Aunt Martha helping. The devil can try to talk you out of your faith when you're by yourself. You don't have to get around a bunch of nitwits like that to try to help the devil. Don't aid and abet the enemy. That's wrong. You just steer clear of them. They pin you down, you just say, well, I don't know, I argue, but I'm just going to have to stay with God's word. You believe what you want to, but this is what I believe the Bible says. Don't be proud and haughty about it. You could be at least a half inch short of knowing everything. I mean, there might be one or two other things you haven't learned, so don't act like you know it all. Sure, the devil is going to try to talk you out of it. He's not going to try in just some real nice way. He's not going to come up and say, oh, well, you shouldn't do this and don't do that. No, it's going to be something that's going to get under your skin. It's going to be your mother think that you join a cult. And you just, oh, I just can't bear to have my dear old mother think bad of me, you know. Or something like that. It's going to be something that the devil's going to try to get to you. Try to embarrass you on your job or something. Oh, you go over to that place, huh? They called Jesus of the devil. They said he was a prince of the devils, casting out devils by Beelzebub. They said he's from the wrong side. And he said if they call the master of the house Beelzebub, well, how much more are they going to call the others? That doesn't mean that everybody that's persecuted is being persecuted for righteousness' sake. There's a lot of people that go under the cover of that and say, oh, yeah, well, we knew it. We knew it, but they're wrong. How do you know they're wrong and you're right? Well, I didn't say I was perfectly right. I just said they were wrong. Some of them are. You can't just use a proof text. Jesus didn't say man's going to live by this word alone. It's by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But when you're lining up as much as you know with the revealed word of God, well, you can still expect persecution. You can still expect not every Tom, Dick, and Harry to rejoice about it. And it's just simply because that some have allowed themselves to listen to what the enemy has to say. Well, what I wanted to speak about is faith. It is a faith that it might be according to grace so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Do you understand that? The promise is sure to you. It's sure. That means it's established. It's dependable. It's steadfast. It's bankable. It's more than that. It's really trustable. The promise is sure to you. It's already sure. You don't have to get good enough. That's what I always used to think. I had to get spiritual enough. I had to do so much. I had to read so much. I had to learn all these principles. Well, you do have to learn some things, but you don't have to learn those things to qualify. You're already qualified when you come in. In Christ Jesus, you're qualified. That's the main reason why it hasn't worked, because you didn't know you were qualified. You were trying to get qualified. And as long as you're trying to get qualified, you don't believe you're qualified, do you? But when you know you're qualified, then you know you're qualified. And so you won't be trying to get qualified. You realize you're qualified. Since you know you're qualified, well, if you're qualified, that means you qualify. If you qualify, that means you get it. If you get it, that means I got it. You say, but preacher, let's be practical. I have needs. This, oh. Look, if you're going to be one of those sons that's sent over to Australia and just sits around and moans and groans when you own the whole hundreds of thousands of acres and you're too lazy, too dumb to plant any seed? Well, don't expect me and God to have a pity party for you. We might just decide to let you go ahead and starve to death. Why not be like God? Why shouldn't I be like God? Oh, but God has compassion. He's not like you're acting now. He's not hard and mean and uncaring. Really? You've never accused God of that? Huh? Come on now. You've never been tempted to think, oh, God, why don't you do something else? Why don't you, God? Oh, God. God does care. But there's a scripture in there that says in Timothy that he cannot deny himself. He sends you over to Australia and gives you the manual and says, you're going to have plenty of bread to eat. You got a land of milk and honey and wheat here. All you do, take the seed out of the barn, put it in the ground, harvest it, so forth. You're going to have abundance. You're rich, wealthy, every need's taken care of. Just follow these few simple directions. And you don't. Is it God's fault if you starve to death? Oh, but this is hard preaching. I just don't know if I want to shoulder that much responsibility. I'm just a little babe in Christ, and I'm just a little old weak me. And oh, you mean it's up to me? Well, it's up to you to cooperate, to receive. It's not up to you to have the power to fulfill it. It's not up to you to have the resources to make it happen. It's not up to you to work it up. It's just up to you to cooperate and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Not only to be happy to Jesus, but to be blessed in Jesus. God isn't going to bless you, but you can either be blessed or not blessed depending on whether you will receive the blessing. And you receive by faith. There's no other way. And anything that tries to take away from your faith then is trying to rob the blessings of God from you. And that has to be the devil. It's the devil that would try to do it. It's the devil that tries to talk you out of it. It's the devil that tries to reason with you and get you to think, well, maybe not. Yeah, not me, not this time, not now. Why not? I just have to give this one Charles Capps example. He talks about, maybe you've heard him say this, but he's saying about calling those things that be not. We're right here in Romans in 4:17. It says, God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. He says, you do it in the natural. And it took me a while to get this. Maybe you won't be as dense as I was, but he's talking about if you had a dog and you had the food for him, you say, here, Fido, or whatever it is, here, Fido. He says, you're calling things that be not as though they were. You don't say, there, Fido, there, Fido. You speak the end result, don't you? In other words, I got the food right here. The dog is way up there in the back. And what do I say? Do I say, well, I just got to tell the truth. There, Fido. There, Fido. No, I say, here, Fido. Here, Fido. But he's not here, is he? He's not here. He's back there. But I say, here. I'm calling for him, aren't I? I'm calling for him to come here. I'm speaking what I desire to happen. I'm not saying what is. I'm saying what I desire. I'm speaking the end result, and that's the way God does it. That's the way God does it. He speaks what he desires, not just the way things are. And that's what he tells us to do. Mark 11:23. Well, in this translation, New King James, it says, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt his heart, but believes those things he says will come. Believes that those things he says will come. The things that you say will come to you. You call them to you. You call them to you by saying them. You call things that be not as though they were, according to God's word. I also like how he put out that he's saying it's not calling things that are as though they aren't. We're not denying that there is sickness. We're not telling the loan officer, excuse me, we're not denying to the loan officer that we even owe a note. We're not denying to the person on the phone that we don't owe that car payment. Oh, no, I don't owe a car payment. No, bless God, all my car payments are made. I just deny that I owe that car payment. No, we're not denying the existence of this sickness. What we're doing, or the lack, what we're doing is calling for what we desire. Calling what's not as though it is. Calling it into being. We're planting those seeds, and those seeds are going to come up. They've got to come up because God's word is incorruptible seed. It's not subject to rotting, decay, or corruption. It's not subject to hybridization. It's not going to change, in other words. You're not going to plant a tomato seed and get a cucumber. Now, that's good, but it can also be bad if you don't know it. You know why? Because you're not going to plant a healing seed and get prosperity. You got to plant both. If you want both, you can't just plant in one area if you want to reap a varied harvest of everything. If you want all the fruit, well, then you plant all the seed.